Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Fight fans, here we are in our third episode of the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. And we have a big, big show, the biggest show yet. Even though we had Tom Loeffler of K2 Promotions in our first debut episode, I think this one's going to be a little bit bigger. But first, before you get to the nitty gritty of it, we're broadcasting live from the Sheraton LAX out here in Inglewood, California, ready for this weekend's big fight show on Saturday night from the Fabulous Forum, where two female fight bouts are featured, and we'll have most of the fighters on that card here on the show. But before that, more importantly, we have our co-host, Mr. David Avila. How are you doing, David?
Very good, Felipe. How are you doing over there in Sheraton?
Good, good. It's a nice out here. Took a little walk earlier. Got a little hot. But other than that, we're doing good. And now we have some bad news and we have some good news. The bad news is that, unfortunately, because of scheduling conflicts, our original co-host, Liz Quevedo Parr, will no longer be with us. Hopefully, we could get her in the future as a special co-host when she could get away from what she's got going on during this time. 7 p.m. from now on, people, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time here live on Leave It in the Ring. But our new co-host, the good news, is none other than, I feel, one of the pioneering female fighters in the sport, Elena Baby Doll Reed. Elena, please say hi to all the listeners.
Hey, guys. I'm really happy to be here and can't wait for the show tonight.
Elena, don't be shy. Don't be shy. And please, for those newer female fight fans that may or may not know who you are, tell them who you are, what you did in your career, and what you're doing now, now that you have been retired for a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I turned pro at the age of 18. I think the year was 2000, which was, you know, quite a while ago now. But I have two world titles in boxing, a title in MMA. As a kid, I had a title in kickboxing, but I fought all over the world. I got on ESPN a couple times, made plays a day. I was able to be main event on Fox Sports, and I got to fight on a lot of, you know, Floyd Mayweather undercards, some of the bigger cards. So I was really fortunate as a female to get my name out there in a lot of different ways while I was fighting. Now I am a wife and a mother to two young, beautiful sons, and I'm running my own boxing program actually out here at the YMCA in Maryville, Arizona, which I'm really happy I just got done doing that. But I'm really trying to promote boxing now, and just, you know, boxing's always been my life. It's something I love, and it's become the tool for me to help my community.
Awesome. David, what can you tell us as Elena? I know you've known her, followed her career for a long time. What do you remember about her as far as inside the ring?
Well, Elena went through an evolution like a lot of female fighters in the beginning. At first, she was a nose-to-nose fighter, and then she evolved into this boxer puncher that could fight you in close or fight you in the outside. And she had some memorable fights. One of the first she had was Mariana Juarez. They fought way back when on ESPN, I think it was. And
yeah,
that was an incredible battle. And then she had two wars with Regina Helmick in Germany, first time fought to a draw in Germany. And that was almost impossible to do. And she made her mark. And she even fought in MMA and had some victories in that sport as well later in her career. But Elena's one of the greats for the 21st century. She opened it up for a lot of women that are now fighting.
Well, that's great to know. Elena, quick question. And, you know, we could get a little bit more into this as the shows progress here on the two-minute round. And but, you know, you were kind of like in somewhat of the heyday of female fighting, at least in the last 20 years. And it has taken a little bit of decline, but it's starting to pick up again. You know, case in point, the fight this Saturday night, the two fights this Saturday night at the Forum. What do you think that needs to happen in female boxing for us to get back to where you were in your heyday when you were fighting on ESPN and going across the world fighting?
Well, I think, you know, these women, and they all have great stories. They're all great fighters, so they're going to sound great fights this weekend. But for women, especially right now, they have to use the social media. They have to get so popular with the people and just outside of boxing to where the promoters see them as value. And, of course, you know, and I know that these are great fighters. Fans would love to watch them. But promoters just need that extra push. So I really think the women need to take this opportunity to get their names out there and just to talk to as many people as they can. But the things that I didn't have, you know, in my day is the Facebook and the Twitter and those things. So they really need to take advantage of all of those things that I think are out there now and just get their name out in every way possible, which is much easier to do today.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. And fight fans, if you guys are listening live, you want to call in and talk to Elena Baby Doll Reed or David or myself, or once we have our guests, which we're going to give you a rundown of who they are in the next couple minutes, you could call us live at 347-215-7598. Again, the number here at the two-minute round is 347-215-7598. We're going to have none other than the number five-ranked WBC strawweight fighter, Maris Diamond Girl Quintana from San Diego, California. She's going to be calling in about 9 minutes to talk about her upcoming fight with Kenny Enriquez. We should have Kenny Enriquez pretty soon, sometime later on today. And then around 7:30, 7:35, we're going to have Ceniza Estrada from East LA, who is going to be fighting Selene Lopez. Selene or Selene Lopez, depending on which language you're saying it, that's her name. She's going to be fighting her in a six-rounder at a catch weight of 111 pounds. Did you know it was a catch weight, David, of 111 pounds?
No, I did not know that. I thought it was 108.
Yeah, that's what, you know, yeah. Something I want to say before we go on is all these girls, they all have a background, a great amateur background and a pedigree, and they all have great stories. They're all beautiful women. And the sad thing is, like me as a female boxer, I really had to dig in and, like, find out about them, which, to my surprise, like, they have such great stories that I'm happy that I'm on here because I really feel like we need to push these girls out there because they have the talent, you know, to watch the fights. There is a lot of girls at 108 that are really good, but these girls are people are going to want to know about these girls.
Yeah, now that's why we're going to have them here in the two-minute round, not only to talk about them, but to also promote, because we're all journalists here, and we want female boxing. That's why we have this show. That's why we developed this show, the two-minute round, so that we could get these stories out here, because we believe, David Avila, myself, and especially Elena Reed, that we get the stories out there, you know, people are going to get more interested and feel invested in these fighters, and they're going to want to see them on TV and hopefully request that. And Tom Loeffler at K2 Promotions, great promoter. We had him on our first show here. He mentioned that it's one of his edicts for the company to develop female boxing. He signed Cecilia Breakhouse, who is considered the number one pound-for-pound fighter. Obviously, he has Kenny Enriquez and Maris Quintana on the show. Ceniza Estrada is the second time that she fights at the Forum under a Gennady Golovkin card, right? So he is making the push, and hopefully we could put in our two cents with this show called The 2 Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. But before we have Amory's call, we're going to give you a little bit of fight results that have happened in the last couple weeks. We were supposed to have our last show, this episode number 3, a couple weeks ago, but we had some technical difficulties. But we are here now, and we're going to go back a little bit and give you the fight results in between the calls from Amaris Quintana, Ceniza Estrada, and Kenny Enriquez. If you guys have anything to say about any of these fighters, feel free to interrupt me and let me know your thoughts. But going back to Saturday, March 26th in Tijuana, Mexico, super flyweight Casey Morton from Sacramento fought to a four-round draw against a first-timer, Carla Gonzalez. This first-timer, Carla Gonzalez, was an MMA fighter. But in Mexico, for one reason or another, they're starting to find it a little bit hard to get MMA fights, and now they're starting to move into boxing. And she gave Casey, who fights out of Sacramento, all she could handle in the four-rounder, and they ended up fighting to a draw. On the same night, junior flyweight Lourdes Pequeña Lulu Juarez, who is the sister of Mariana Baby Barbie Juarez, defeated Marlene Sandoval in a four-round unanimous decision. And one thing that David and I discussed is that for her having a record of 15-2 with two knockouts, she's still fighting four-rounders. David, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, to me, that says that maybe the promoters don't want to, you know, pay her for 6 or 8 or 10 rounders. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. So a lot of times they try to undercut them. But I don't really know the Mexican promoters in Mexico City. That's the only thing I can gather from that.
Well, the thing with Pequeña Lulu, she's with the same promoter as her sister, which is Promociones del Pueblo, which they control one of the major Mexican networks, Televisa. So it's not a matter of time or anything like that. I think they're just trying to develop her. Is that what you think also, Elena, that maybe they're just trying to develop her because not like her sister, she doesn't have the experience?
I agree with you. If she doesn't have the background that her sister has, if she kind of just jumped in there, maybe this is like, you know, they're treating this as her amateur career where they are still trying to build her.
I believe so as well. They're trying to build her because she's younger. She's like 27, 20 years old, but obviously she doesn't have the experience that Barbie has. And on Wednesday, March 30th, from the B.B. King Bar and Grill in New York, Cindy Serrano, the sister of Amanda Serrano, the WBO featherweight champion, defeated Renata Domsodi via unanimous decision in a six-rounder at super featherweight. Scores were 60-54 all three times. Friday, April 1st, Farida El Hadrari and Ana Laura Esteche fought to a majority draw over 10 rounds for the WBA female light welterweight title. El Hadrati was down in the third, and Esteche was deducted a point in the ninth. Scores were 97-91 for El Hadrati and 94-94 two times. So that sounded like a pretty good fight with some knockdowns and then some point deductions, but it ended up a majority draw. Alondra Garcia defeated Mayela Perez. Go ahead, David.
On the fight in France, I was kind of amazing because a lot of times the Argentines don't fight out of the country. And Ana Esteche, she actually left Argentina, went to France, and battled her to a draw. That's pretty amazing because I see that her and the lightweight champion, Farias, have departed from just fighting it at home and going to Europe. Maybe there's more money. Maybe the money is starting to return to Europe as it did during Elena's time period.
Yeah, I can tell you, it was like night and day difference, the pay. I was actually just thinking about that earlier, you know. Like, it probably would have been a smart decision for American female fighters to move to Europe just because the money there was, 10 times more than you were getting back home.
And, you know, if you had female fighters go, American female fighters, Elena went out there, Kalisha West has gone out there, and Melissa McMorrow has gone out there, and, you know, and the pay is a lot better, and they fight to huge crowds. I mean, us, we're all excited because these four females are going to be fighting close to 15,000 people here on Saturday night, but that's like almost every show out there in Germany, at least for the German fighters, the female German fighters like Susie.
The women were the main event. Like, it was really, they were like the superstars, you know. It was equal. Men, women were both superstars. It was not... So when I fought out there, we were the rock stars. We weren't the undercard. And so it is a different world. And it was sad that we couldn't have done it at home. But really, if you wanted to make money or have bigger fights, like, you had to go to Europe. And it seems in the last, you know, couple, maybe 10 years, that Mexico has been putting on a lot more female fights as well. I don't know what the pay is there, but I know that they seem to promote women a lot more than the U.S. has in the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Mexico, the pay is a little bit better than the United States because they are going to be being featured on TV. But as far as I know and what I've heard and what I've seen, the ones that really made the big, big money was Jackie Nava and Ana Maria Torres. And Barbie Juarez continues to make the big, big money because she is a big draw and she gets a lot of ratings out there. But the next step down, they're making good money, better money than they would be making in the United States, because obviously in the United States they're not fighting on TV. But I don't think it's European money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we go to Friday, April 8th. Speaking of another Argentina, we have her back. Jessica Yolanda Tutti Bop comes back after nearly a two-year layoff due to motherhood. And she defeated the tough Vanessa Taborda, who actually fought to a draw, I believe, with Barbie Juarez a couple of fights ago, and then was defeated by Barbie via an 8-round unanimous decision. And going back to your point, David, she left her home country of Argentina once. She fought in Mexico some years ago before she took the little hiatus, and she ended up losing to Kika Chavez. I don't know if you remember that fight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was a tremendous battle, too.
And the same night, April 8th, from Tijuana, Mexico, the current WBC Fekkenbox flyweight champion, Tania Enriquez, the little sister, Kenya Enriquez's little sister, stopped Mary Gastelum in the first round of a scheduled 6. The next night, on April 9th, Shannon O'Connell defeated Andre Wonsongchai Jim, I think she's from Thailand, for the vacant WBC Silver Bantam title. With the 6-round stoppage, Arnie was handed off to being dropped for the second time in that fight. And another one that came back from a little bit of a hiatus was Germany's Susie Ramadan, who came back the same night, April 9th, but in Germany. Go ahead.
She's Australian.
Oh, she's Australian?
Yeah, so Susie Ramadan is Australian. She always fights in Australia.
So she's Middle Eastern, I presume, right?
She's of descent, but she lives in Australia, Victoria.
Okay. Well, she stopped Hangfa Tor Bamas in the third of a scheduled 8 in the bantamweight division. Bamas was 4 pounds heavier to Ramadan's 115 pounds, 114.75. So actually, it became a bantamweight fight because Tor Bamas was overweight. Bamas, despite being 4 pounds over, Bamas was still down in the second and in the third round. Another female Argentinian that came back from a hiatus because of motherhood was WBO female bantamweight champion Carolina Duer. Went the 6-round distance to take a unanimous decision over Vanessa del Valle Calderon in her return after more than a year due to motherhood, like I mentioned. And then Saturday, April 16th, Layla MacArthur came back. How long has it been that she hadn't fought, David?
She fought last year, but she fought in the BKB, and she knocked out Diana Prazak. But she has fought, just not in boxing. Yeah, she's an incredible fighter, incredible, as Elena could tell you, because she knows her very well. In fact, Elena fought her.
She's my second fight. Yeah, my first loss. But I think she was one of the real reasons, you know, that I knew I wanted to box. Because it was, I mean, she was well-versed in boxing, and I was very green. And my face was battered after that fight. But it made me want to come back. And after that fight, you know, I went on a winning streak for many years. So Layla MacArthur, someone I've known for a long time, amazing boxer, for male or female, just amazing athlete, a great person. And I mean, gosh, yeah, I mean, if people could watch her, if the world knew that she was out there, you know, we watch it on UFC, they promote all these women, and people love them, like, people really take to them. And so really, all it is if some promoter would just put the woman out there. They don't need to make women's boxing, there's already women's boxing, there's a lot of women who can fight, and so there'd be great fights. It's just a matter of promoters putting them on TV.
Yeah, I spoke to a Layla, and she told me that she sparred exclusively with Joel Casamayor. So that can tell you how good she is.
Yeah.
And Elena, you that have fought Layla MacArthur, what's the toughest thing that she does? What's the best thing that she does that she's able to be that good?
Well, let me go ahead and say, when we fought, it was a world ago. So we both are, you know, have come very far in our boxing. But she's just a boxer. Like, you know, she's a great athlete, number one. She's got great trainers. She has great sparring partners. She's athletic. She's strong. And she gets hot real boxing. Like, she's a real boxer. So there's nothing she can't do. Like, she'll fool you. She's always in great shape. I mean, she has it all. There's not really any one thing I think better than another besides she's there in Vegas, you know. She has the best sparring partner. She has the best coaches. And then, on her part, she's a great athlete and she works hard.
Did you say, David, that she sparred exclusively Joel Casamayor?
Yes, that was her only sparring partner. And, in fact, Joel was mentioning that he might want to make a comeback. And he said he's just going to spar with Layla. He's just going to spar with Layla.
I heard that he may be thinking of doing a comeback. Just to give you the result of that fight that she had in Mexico City, which was not televised, she did quick work on Yolanda Segura, stopping her in the first round of a scheduled special attraction 10 since it wasn't for a title fight. And the only thing, the only detriment, I think, David, with Layla MacArthur, and we know her story, and we know that she started early, and she has fought way above her weight class and everything, but maybe the only detriment to being able to put her on TV, and then once you put her on TV and she starts beating everybody and you see how good she is, then maybe it won't matter, but to just get that foot in the door, it's her record. 37 wins, 13 losses, 5 draws, 9 knockouts. And it's not an attractive record that TV wants to see.
But she hasn't lost a fight since 2007.
Yeah.
Nobody's beaten her since 2007.
And that's the thing that needs to be sold. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work for men either, because I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure that the record is very similar to Orlando Salido, who... It doesn't matter his
exactly.
record. Everybody knows that he gives great fights, but we got to get Layla MacArthur that first fight on TV. Or I know that she's fought on TV in the past, but one that would get her in front of other people again. So maybe people could not care about the record. And once you explain it, then it won't really matter.
People will care, though. I don't think like everyday people, which you need everyday people, right, to be popular. I don't think they care because you watch – I'm gonna keep going back to UFC just because it is so popular, right? It is doing well in different things, especially for females. Their fighters fight everyone, so no one has a great record. Like, no one has a perfect record. And boxing, that's been a detriment to boxing because, you know, you do try to get someone to fight a bunch of bums or whatever else and build a record. But women – and I'll I was the same. You know, I don't have a perfect record, and it's because I went to other countries and, you know, got robbed. Or I did lose sometimes because I was fighting the best people in the world, and that's what Layla Carter has done too. And so I think if people gave her a chance, which everyday people wouldn't care. They, you know, once they saw her fight, then that would be it.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do is get her in front of people so people see her fight and not care. But now on the line, we're going to bring her up any second now, is the number 5 ranked strawweight by the WBC and former NABF strawweight champion, Amariz Quintana. Let's bring her on. Amariz.
Hi. Hello, guys.
Hey,
Amariz.
Amariz, on the line is myself, Felipe Leon, my co-host David Avila, and Elena Baby Doll Reed. I'm going to give the microphone to David and Elena so they can conduct the interview. Go ahead, David.
Amariz, how's everything going, and how was your press conference today?
Everything's great. We rested up. Press conference came out great, you know. A good environment, good experience. It was an honor to be up there with Triple G and Chocolatito Hernandez, and it was awesome.
I noticed that you sat next to your opponent for part of the press conference. Is that kind of uncomfortable, or is it just something that goes with fighting?
Well, no. You know, we've known each other, so we know each other inside the ring, outside the ring. So it wasn't uncomfortable. We trained. We came to do what we came to do on Saturday, but outside of the ring, it's sportsmanship. So there's nothing wrong with that. Well, to me, it isn't.
Any questions to ask, Elena?
It's a pleasure talking to you as well. And, you know, I really love your story, and I think you're a great fighter. I just, you know, what do you think, or what have you worked on, and how are you going to win this fight? Like, what do you feel that you have coming into this fight?
Thank you so much for having me on the show. We feel ready. We had a hard training camp. We're ready to bring whatever, you know. Go forward, go outside, inside, whatever it takes, but we're going to be ready for whatever they bring.
And you feel that more confident for the fight because you guys have sparred before, correct?
Yeah, we know each other. That's a disadvantage, but we both, you know, every day Every time we train, we learn something different. We change anything, you know. Anything could be different, but I'll be ready.
And what are you hoping to gain from this fight? Like, let's say, well, you are going to win, right? Let's say you get the win. What do you look forward to after this fight?
I look forward to giving the best in the ring, show that women have what it takes to also, you know, get the privilege to be on big fights like that, you know? Open up more doors for women's boxing, you know, throw it out there more, hopefully get more support, and just do what we have to do, you know?
Do you have you had a tough time meeting sponsors, or how are your sponsorships? How does that work for you?
I got sponsorships for this fight. I had a couple great sponsorships. I had PVM Transport, April Alba. I had CrossFit, Oracle. I had Virtual Tech Solutions. So we had a good group of sponsors that helped us out for this fight.
Great. I'm really bad at taking over talking, so if David or anyone else wants to talk, please do. What do you want people to know about you? Like, what do you want to tell all your fans?
I want to tell my fans that I appreciate all the love and support to come out on Saturday. They won't regret it. They're gonna pay for a great show and a great fight. And just keep helping us put the word out there for women's boxing. I want them to know that I appreciate all their love and support. That I will give my best in there and to expect fireworks.
Great. And this is I'm not. Is this the biggest card you've been on to
date? Yes, ma'am. This is the biggest card I've ever been on.
Awesome.
And hopefully there will be more to come after this.
Absolutely. No, that's great. I wish you all the best, you know, and just really take it all in and have fun and do what you do. You know, you've done all the hard work, so just have fun out there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it.
Yeah. Marisa, How do you beat a fighter like Kenya Enriquez, in your opinion? If you were to tell another fighter how to fight Kenya, how do you beat a fighter like that?
How to be a fighter like Kenya? I would say
How would you beat her? Pressure?
How would I beat her? Putting pressure on her, staying on her. You know, staying inside. She has that long reach, so we got to stay inside with her.
Is there like a rivalry between San Diego and Tijuana since you guys are right next to each other?
Yeah, you could say that, I guess, when it comes to competing, of course.
When you fought as amateurs, did you fight in Mexico too?
No, all my fights are on this side, United States.
What was your experience fighting as a pro in Mexico?
It was great. You know, I fought in Mexico twice already. So it was a good experience. I have support out there. You know, I have family, friends that came down. So it was a good experience for me.
Did you feel like they promoted women better out in Mexico than they do here?
They do. Yeah, of course they do. Absolutely.
Do you plan on fighting in Mexico more?
Yeah, of course. If the opportunity comes, we'll take anything that comes at us.
So you're not against fighting in another country or anywhere. It seems like you're willing to go wherever the fights take you.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll go wherever the fights take us. So,
tell us about yourself, Amarisa. I noticed on Facebook that you like to ride horses. That's like one of your hobbies?
Yeah, that's one of my hobbies. I have two horses. I have a female. And she had a baby, so I have a 9-month-old little baby also. And it's fun. It's relaxing. I go out there with my cousins, with my brother and my friend, and we just ride. We ride to the beach. It's a nice little getaway, you know, on the weekends.
Wow. So you have the horses, are they with you in your house, or do you have to go somewhere to a stable?
No, we have them at a ranch by my parents' house that we rent. So
we
rent the stables in the little area there, and that's where we keep them. So they're close by. So,
what are the names of your horses?
The mom is Diamond, and the little baby is Alexander.
Oh, diamond like you, huh? Diamond girl?
Yeah. Yeah, she has that little diamond mark on her side. So that's why I named her Diamond, too.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. So how did you get into it? How did you get into horses?
I've always wanted a horse since I was little. My grandpa grew up just raising horses, working horses. So I guess it was just in my blood, you know? And now I have the opportunity to have a horse, so I took advantage. I bought one, and that's like my second hobby.
Wow, and I noticed that you were teaching it how to dance or something.
It dances already. So that's my friend Edgar's horse. He dances.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So what would you where do you rank it in terms of boxing? What's your first love? Is it horse riding or boxing?
Boxing. My first love is boxing, of course.
So
yeah,
are you
passion, you know? It's a passion that I have for boxing.
Is boxing is that what you do full time, or do you do anything else?
No, I actually work full time. So I have I'm an office manager, and
oh,
I work Monday through Friday. Yeah. Yeah.
God bless all women fighters. That's tough.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then, Amaris, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, and we're really looking forward to seeing you at the forum. For all fans that are listening in, Amaris will be fighting Kenya Enriquez on Saturday, April 23rd at the forum in Inglewood, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. So if you want to see a great fight, be sure to go down to the forum. There are some tickets left, not a lot, but there are some tickets left. And once again, thank you very much, Amaris, for participating on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate all the love and support.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you have it. That was Amaris Quintana, otherwise known as Diamond Girl, light flyweight from San Diego.
She's actually a strawweight, David, but like always, she has had to fight outside of weight class the majority of her career to be able to get the opportunities. And now on the line we have from East LA, none other than the most local fighter, I think, on the card, Ceniza Estrada. Ceniza, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hi, Ceniza. Felipe Lone here with the 2-Minute Round. Also on the line is my co-host David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed. And I want to start off the questions here for Ceniza. Ceniza, it's the second time you fight on a Gennady Golovkin card. You mentioned today at the press conference that it's a big honor for you. But beyond that, you know, what does it mean a little bit more in depth for you? If you could give us a little bit more in depth of what it means for you to fight on this card, especially here so close to your hometown.
It feels great. I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to be on the Triple G undercard for the second time. And people ask me, you know, how excited are you? Like, you know, this is so big for women's boxing. And are you excited? How do you feel? But the only thing I can really say is that I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And I feel like this is exactly where I belong. This is the stage that I belong on. And I'm just grateful that it's actually happening, and I'm actually able to get these opportunities now. And I've been boxing for 16 years, had an extensive amateur career, so had over 100 amateur fights. So to be on this stage at 5-0 for the second time, it feels perfect. It feels exactly where I belong, and I'm just hoping to just continue to take even bigger steps and open up more doors for the future.
Do you feel that it's a little bit of an added pressure to be fighting on such a big card at only 5-0 and nearby your hometown, where, you know, Tom Loeffler made a note today at the press conference that you sold a lot of tickets, so obviously you're going to have a lot of people there. Do you feel a little bit more added pressure, you know, instead of fighting, you know, like at the Orange County Costa Mesa shows that you've also fought in your last fight?
No, actually, I don't feel any added pressure. This is exactly where I want to be fighting and exactly the stage I should be fighting on. And I feel I have all the experience that I need, actually, because I've been boxing for so long, and I had so many amateur fights. So as an amateur, I was 97-4, and stepping into the ring as an amateur, you have no idea who you're fighting. You get to a boxing show or a tournament, and you pretty much, you know, fight someone who you've never even seen fight before. So for me to be able to have all of that experience and carry it into the pros and started boxing at such a young age, at 8 years old, it just prepared me to be at the stage I'm at right now. So I don't feel any added pressure. Actually, it's motivation, because the more people there for me to support me is actually, I feel even better, because I have a reason to put on a great show and to impress people, and I just want to entertain everybody. So, you know, better for me the more people there, honestly.
A couple more questions, then I'll pass the ball to David Avila. Now, last time you fought on the Gennady Golovkin card, you fought a tough fighter. She hadn't fought in a couple of years, but a tough fighter, Carly Beatty. What do you know about Celine Lopez, and do you think Celine Lopez is a tougher fight?
Actually, I don't think it'll be tougher, just because it'll be at my weight class, which is between 108 and 112, and we're fighting at 111. And when I fought Carly Beatty, I fought her at 116, which was way out of my weight class. And it was pretty much like a take it or leave it fight. So I took it because I wanted to take that risk, because I knew I would still be able to come out with the victory. So I accepted the fight anyway, and ended up coming out with the victory. But I don't think this one would be as tough, just because my opponent is at the weight that I should be fighting at. So, you know, if I can do damage to somebody at 116, I could, you know, I just want people to see the damage I can do at my normal weight class, which is between 108 and 112.
You kind of answered
my opponent has.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And my opponent, Celine Lopez, has also fought Kenny Enriquez and Almaris as well. She's went the distance with them, and then I think a TKO from one of them the second time. So I just, you know, want to show what the difference is fighting me, and show what I can do. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to fighting at my weight class for once.
Actually, before I go to my next question, actually, Selena's last fight was a 8-round loss to Maris Quintana, and Kenny Enriquez knocked her out in the first round in 2014. And my last question, you kind of touched on it. You said that this fight's at 111, which is between your weight class of 108 or 112. Once you decide, which of those two weight classes are you going to end up campaigning at?
Really anywhere between 108 and 112, I feel comfortable. I'm hoping, you know, 108 would be great, but it's not always that easy to be able to get opponents to agree to fighting at 108. Usually girls want to fight at 108 if it's like for a title fight or something, you know, they'll be willing to get down to that weight. But as long as it's between 108 and 112, then I'll be fine. I'll be comfortable with that.
Okay, David, take over.
Sunisa, a lot of people don't realize that you could have tried out for the Olympic team back 4 years ago, and you didn't. A lot of people wonder, what happened? Why didn't you do it? You were one of the favorites. Eventually, Marlon Esparza got the call, but you were one of the favorites. And
right.
People were always puzzled, why didn't Sunisa go for the Olympics? So what would you tell those people?
Well, I was I won the USA Nationals in 2009, and then I was favorite. But I fractured my foot. I dropped a weight on my toe during training, and it actually broke my toe. So recovery was supposed to be only about 4 to 6 months, but it ended up being like a year. So I was out for a long time. So that's what kind of held me back.
Oh, that was horrible, I bet. What was the feeling watching somebody else go and win a bronze medal?
You know what? I said to myself that no matter what happens in my career, I'm always going to continue to follow my dreams, and I'm going to make my dreams come true and make it happen, and that I'm going to do big things either way. So, you know, I'm satisfied, and I'm happy with the way my career is going right now. And, you know, everything I thought I would accomplish is happening, and it will come true. So either way, I'm satisfied.
What was it like fighting Carly Beatty in the Forum the last time on this huge crowd? What was the feeling? Did you sense the people around you cheering for you?
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere. The fighting at the Forum is amazing. And I had the crowd on my side, you know, hometown, backyard at the Forum. So, yeah, it felt great. It was just amazing. And I'm looking forward to it the second time around. My fan base has grown since then a lot. And, yeah, I'm just looking forward to entertaining everybody.
On the line also, we have Elena Baby Doll Reed, who is a two-time flyweight world champion. Elena, what are some of the things you'd like to ask Sunisa Estrada?
Well, you're very well put together, and you obviously have a great career, so it's great to hear you talk. But what are hopes and goals? Yeah, you're welcome. What's your ultimate dream, and like, what are you doing this all for?
Ultimate dreams and goals is to just completely transcend the sport and change women's boxing like it hasn't been changed before. And there's been female fighters that have been known and been recognized, but I want to do something for the sport similar to what Ronda Rousey did for the UFC, and doing, you know, just completely changing it and breaking down barriers are my goals and what I really want to do in the sport.
So do you, so Ronda Rousey, you know, she was promoted by the UFC, and she is a great athlete, and you can't think, but she had those people behind her. How do you feel that you're going to get the promoters behind you? And it seems like you're doing it already, but like, what steps do you think you need to take to take it further?
That's a good question. I think I just have to have the opportunity to be on a big stage, just like this card, and you know, just being able to fight in front of the right people, like fighting in front of Max Kellerman and Roy Jones, my last fight at the Forum, and having them, you know, compliment me, and having Roy Jones say that he wants to see me on HBO someday, and then having, you know, Tom Walfer of K2 Promotions watching me, and then now he wants me back at the Forum again. So it's just being able, having a promoter to get you to be willing to put you on a show, and then being able to just impress and entertain. And I think my skills really stand out from other female fighters, which is why it's been, you know, a little easier to get those doors open for myself. So pretty much just getting the promoters to, you know, be impressed by your skills.
And after this fight, so I am I believe that the winners of these two fights are going to fight each other. So you might have the opportunity to fight Amari Okenye. And so that will be a big step up in your pro career. I know you have lots of fights. How do you feel about stepping up against people maybe with a better professional career?
I'm definitely willing to fight anyone. I'm only 5-0 right now, so I want to, you know, continue to just build my record a little more. I'm fighting June 3rd. I have a fight set, so fighting June 3rd also. So maybe in, you know, a couple, few more fights, see what happens and see how the matchup goes between one of them.
And do you have a lot of say on who you fight, or is that all dealt with your promoter and managers?
Do I have a lot of what? I'm sorry.
Do you have a lot of say on who you fight?
A lot of what?
A lot of say, or do you, is that just kind of
I'm sorry.
By your promoters? Oh, that's okay.
We try to have the say as much as possible, just because the promoters will try to just match me up with any fighter who is like a bantamweight or way heavier and way bigger, because that's already happened in my last two fights. So what we've been doing is, you know, making sure that we have the say so in who we fight, and we pick our opponents. That way it's at the weight class that we want.
And it's your dad, right, that kind of helps manage you. And how important is that to have your dad by your side?
Super important, super important. He, you know, knows what's best for me and looks out for me, so that's definitely a plus.
Does your dad, is he part of your training as well, or is it just mostly kind of the support and the management?
100% support, yeah. He's always there with me in the gym every day. And, always there.
I don't know. I read your story, and it was kind of it really like hit me. You know, the relationship and how boxing saved your dad. Would you mind talking about that a little bit?
Yeah. I started boxing when I was 8 years old, and before that, I just would watch fights with my dad, and he kind of is what he kind of introduced me to the sport, and being just, when I first started boxing, he kind of, you know, it also changed his life as far as, you know, drugs and prison and that kind of life. So when I started boxing, it saved his life, and then it changed my life and made me the person I am today. So boxing is everything to me.
I agree with that. You know, as a fighter, and like I said, and I'll say it to you again, and I think, you know, you're going to have a great career inside the ring, but I'm sure you can see that boxing is a great tool for everyone, really, to help get people off the streets. And, you know, that was the first thing that I learned is boxing is to get kids off the street. It is to help. Of course, it's a great sport, but I think, you know, how important do you think that is as for us athletes to go out there and help our community?
It's super important, because I grew up in the gym with a lot of fighters who could have been great and could have made it, but, you know, mm-hmm. drug and gangs and getting into a lot of
yeah.
trouble, especially where I grew up in East L.A., you know, now they're nowhere, doing nothing, just, you know, getting into trouble or doing the same thing they were doing as they were kids. So boxing is something that can really, really save people. And Frankie Gomez was my teammate since we were kids, and he was kind of the same way, you know, always very talented and always in the gym, but at the same time, if it wasn't for boxing, he probably wouldn't even be fighting right now. And if it wasn't for my dad and our trainers guiding him in the right direction, guiding me in the right direction, and a lot of other kids who they just mentor in the community, the boxing gym is a place where they can go and they can, you know, escape from everything and just, you know,
be safe.
Focus on, yeah, be safe, exactly.
Yeah, cool. No, that's great to hear. I'm really looking forward to seeing your career progress. And it's really nice to have you here, and you really sound like you've got a solid head on your shoulders. And so I also talked to David, and he was talking about your style, and it's something that I kind of like is, and this isn't offensive, but you got more of an aqua style. You're kind of like, you can box a lot of different ways, which really helps you as a fighter, because people aren't so used to your style. How would you explain that?
Yeah, I'm not just one dimensional. I can, you know, I don't just have one tool in my toolbox. I can do many things. I can switch right-handed, left-handed, and I can fight left-handed feel just as comfortable as I can right-handed. And what my trainer has taught me is, since I started training with him, I started training with him when I was about 16 years old, and
wow.
I was born a fighter. Like, I'll just fight from round one all the way to the end. But he taught
sure.
me how to box, how to think, taught me technique, and how to just open up my mind to new and different things. So with that even made me so much better. And every day in the gym, like, he's never satisfied. I can spar and I can do everything great, and everybody around me can say I did amazing, and my trainer's like, well, no, you didn't do this right, or you didn't that, or you should have done this, or you should have done that. And I'm like, gosh, like, I can't ever get any credit from him. But at the same time, it's because he wants to make sure that I perfect everything, and that that I always have a way to win, no matter what, and no matter what my opponent brings to the ring, I can always adjust.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think you know, boxing is something that all fighters should know, that, you know, you always work. I'm sure Floyd Mayweather would say the same thing. Like, he's always in the gym, you know, repetitive, doing things over and over. So we can't ever feel satisfied. So, but I'll stop being a hog and let David talk if he has anything to say. But great to talk to you, and I can't wait to see your whole career progress.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Sunisa, thank you so much for participating on the show. And I just want to tell all the fans that are listening that be sure to come down and watch this fight. Sunisa is one of the jewels from the Los Angeles area. And if you don't know about her, then this is your time to get a chance to see what we're talking about. And that's this Saturday at the Forum. Doors open at 4 o'clock. Sunisa Superbad Estrada will be fighting Celine Lopez. And thank you very much again, Sunisa. I really appreciate you participating.
You're welcome. Thank you, David. Thank you for all the support. I appreciate it.
Same here. You take care.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it. We have Cenizas Superbad Estrada. Like David mentioned, she'll be fighting Selene Lopez tomorrow on Saturday night in a six-rounder in a catchweight of 111 pounds. And now on the line, we have the former WBO flyweight champion. She's actually going to be on the line in any minute. WBO flyweight champion Kenya Enriquez from Tijuana, 15-1, 7 knockouts. She unfortunately doesn't speak any English. She speaks a little bit, but I'm going to be doing the translating. So I'm going to let you guys do the bulk of the interview, and then that way I would do the translating for her, the question, and then her answer. She's actually tied up a little bit. She'll be on the line any minute. But just to talk about Kenya Enriquez real quick, you know, she became the WBO female flyweight champion by beating Mexico City's Ana Razola back in 2014. You were in the house that night, weren't you, David?
Yes, I was. I was at that fight, and she gave a tremendous showing that day. I mean, she just looked untouchable.
And then after that, she ended up losing the title in her first defense against Melissa McMorrow. Melissa McMorrow, a very, very tough fighter, a lot of experience. That fight was in Rosarito, about 15, 20 minutes south of Tijuana, her hometown. And that was on the undercard. She was the semi-main event to Jackie Navas' last fight, which was in February of 2015. And she ended up losing her title. She decided to go down to 108 pounds, which is her natural weight class, and campaigning there. And that's where she's at right now. Since then, she fought in August of last year, beating Lorena Arias in 4 rounds. And then she won a technical decision over former IBF champion Katia Gutierrez last November. So she's fought Selena Lopez, the fighter that Cenizas Stratus fighting. She fought her back in 2014, knocked her out in the first round, and then obviously she's going to be fighting Amaris Quintana this Saturday on 108-pounder, 8 rounds. Two top 10 rated women, with Amaris being ranked number 5 by the WBC and Kenya ranked number 8 by the WBC. That's something that we don't see. I mean, we see it often in boxing and in male boxing, but I think we see it even more often in female boxing, because they have to take these kind of fights to be able to fight on these opportunities. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Do you think that is true, Elena, or do you think these just two girls are just, you know, they want to mix it up to be on this card?
I think female fighters in general don't even have the opportunity to be built. Obviously there's some special situations, but I think it's just the female boxing. We all fight each other. You know, you get the opportunity, you have to take it, because you don't know if you're going to get the opportunity again. So I would say most females aren't built up. They're just there to take the fight. They love the sport. They want to box. And so they don't have to be afraid to lose a fight.
All right, so we have her on the line, and with you guys, Tijuana's Kenya Enriquez. Kenya, are you on the line?
Hola, hola, buenas tardes, buenas noches a todos.
Buenas noches, Kenya.
David, so I'm going to hand over the mic to you, and go ahead and I'll do the translation.
Okay.
Kenya, what has been the difference fighting at 112 to 108? Does she feel a huge difference dropping down in weight?
Kenya, ¿qué ha sido la diferencia en pelear en las 112 libras a las 108? ¿Ha sentido una gran diferencia en la diferencia de peso?
Claro que sí, porque cuando estoy peleando 108 libras, yo soy la que tiene la pegada, yo soy la más grande, soy la más fuerte, y cuando peleo 112 libras, siento que no saco ninguna ventaja, siento que ellas tienen la ventaja sobre mí, y pues creo que en este deporte es tratar de tener un poco de ventaja, porque si de por sí es difícil el deporte, ahora dándoles ventaja un poco más.
Yes, I think there is a difference. I think that at 108, I'm the one with the advantage. I have the more power. I'm the bigger fighter. And at 112, I feel that my opponents are the bigger fighters, and they have the advantage. And this sport is hard enough to give up advantages, you know, and that's why I'm back at 108.
And she, in her last fight, she fought Katia Gutierrez. What was that like? She was a former champion. How did she feel during the fight and after the fight, after getting the victory?
En tu última pelea, peleaste contra Katia Gutierrez, una ex campeona del mundo. ¿Cómo te sentiste enfrentarte a ella? ¿Cómo te sentías en la pelea y después de la pelea?
Pues como ya lo dijeron, una ex campeona del mundo. Eso significa más experiencia, más presión y una técnica más depurada. Una Katia Gutierrez con idea de hacer las cosas. Creo que me sentí muy bien porque estaba enfrentándome a alguien de un nivel similar al mío, pero pudiendo hacer cosas mejores yo. Después de la pelea creo que fue mi momento donde empiezas otra vez a ver la meta y querer volver a ser campeón del mundo.
You know, she is a former world champion. She has a lot of very good technique. I felt that she was at my level. And with that, I felt the challenge. And you could tell that she knew how to do certain things inside the ring, and that kind of had me on my toes. And after the fight, it made me hungrier because I was able to defeat her, and then it made me hungrier, and I have my eyes set on another world title.
I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Elena.
Okay, yeah. So, first I have to say is, you know, Kenya, I love your fighting style. I've always loved Hispanic fighters, and you've got that toughness definitely behind you. But what did you work on leading up to this fight against Maris? Do you think you have the upper hand, and why?
Dice ella que le encanta cómo peleas, que ella siempre le ha gustado peleadoras mexicanas y que tú tienes ese estilo. Pero ¿qué fue lo que trabajaste para esta pelea contra Maris, y por qué crees que tú tienes la ventaja en esta pelea?
Pues tuve que trabajar el plan A, B y C porque conocemos a Maris, ya he hecho sparring con ella. Es una peleadora que no se da por vencida, es una peleadora que por más que le apliques tu mejor combinación, ella va a ir hacia enfrente, no importa tanto cuánto reciba, sino cuánto da. Creo que trabajamos muy arduamente en el gimnasio, cardio, velocidad, potencia. Entonces creo que va a haber una pelea interesante, ya que ella a lo mejor también trabajó cosas diferentes porque ya nos conocemos, yo trabajé cosas diferentes para que no sea como algo que ya conocimos, sino que va a ser algo diferente y va a ser una gran pelea.
In the ring, we had to work plan A, B, and C because, you know, we've done sparring before. And there's one thing about Amaris is that she doesn't take a step back. You might hit her with your best combination, and she just keeps coming forward. So we did a lot of hard work in the gym. We worked on cardio, on speed, on power, on the intensity of the fight. And she believes that Amaris did the same, and they maybe mixed it up a little bit, like Kenya mixed it up. Because they've known each other, that they want to bring something different to the ring, so that way it will be different, because they've sparred each other numerous times, and they kind of know each other. So Kenya worked on a couple of different things, and she's expecting for Amaris to have worked on different things, so that there's something new there on Saturday night.
That's great. I'm excited for this fight, to be honest with you. It sounds like it's going to be toe-to-toe, and it's an action-packed fight, so I'm definitely looking forward to this fight.
Dice que ella está entusiasmada por esta pelea, que cree que va a ser una pelea de choque y que la está esperando con ansiedad.
Pues estamos en las mismas condiciones. Yo también estoy esperando la pelea. Ya quiero que sea sábado, ya quiero estar ahí arriba. Ya quiero hacer lo que trabajé en el gimnasio. Ya quiero hacer todas las cosas y que se dé un resultado.
Well, we're in the same page, she said, because she also wants the fight to already happen. She wants it to be Saturday. She wants it to be Saturday. She wants to show what she worked on in the gym, and she wants to find out who's going to win.
Another question is, how does it differ for her fighting here in the States versus Mexico? And, of course, you know, the same question we ask all of these people fighting on this big card, how does it feel to fight on such a huge card in America?
¿Qué es la diferencia entre pelear en Estados Unidos a México y qué es lo que tú sientes en pelear en una cartelera tan grande como la del sábado?
Hay mucha diferencia porque en México todos saben quién soy yo. Estados Unidos vengo a demostrar mi talento y que me conozcan. Pelear en una cartelera tan grande para mí es estar en una vitrina donde mucho más gente de la que me pudiera imaginar y pudiera contar va a estar viéndome y observando qué voy a hacer. Así que lo único que tengo que hacer es demostrar lo que yo más amo, que es boxear, demostrar lo que por lo que lucho todos los días a levantarme. Entonces, nada más me causa emoción y satisfacción haber logrado llegar a esta cartelera y estar con los mejores del mundo en la misma función.
She says that there is a big difference fighting in Mexico and the United States. You know, in Mexico, everybody knows who she is. And in the United States, not many people do. So it gives her the chance to show her talent. And that this is a huge thing for her fighting on this card because, you know, this is more people than she could ever imagine fighting in front of. They're going to be there on Saturday. And it just gives her the extra motivation. She's excited and satisfied that she was considered for this fight card and to be among such great fighters like, you know, Golovkin and Chocolatito Gonzalez.
That's great. Another question, and I read her story too about her dad was a fighter and so she watched him fight. And there's a whole story about how I think it was like maybe 3 days or I think it was 3 days after she had started boxing, her dad put her in, was it an amateur fight or something right away. But is her dad here with her? Is he able to be out here?
Ella dice que leyó tu historia de cómo tu papá fue peleador y él te entrenó y que después de empezar a entrenar a los 3 días te tiró en una pelea amateur. Y la pregunta de ella es que si está tu papá aquí contigo.
Por razones de visas, de permisos, no puede estar aquí, pero esa no es razón para que yo no haga el trabajo que se hace en el gimnasio. Todos los días estoy con él, todos los días me dice qué tengo que hacer, ideamos una estrategia, lo único que yo necesito es la gente que confía en mi esquina, que va a ser Mario Mendoza, Felipe León y alguien más, y es todo, yo creo que el trabajo ya está hecho, nada más hay que venirlo a hacer y tener a la gente a la gente indicada en tu esquina.
She says that unfortunately because of visa problems, her dad's not going to be able to be here, but, you know, he's there with her every day in the gym. Oh. They worked on a great strategy, and she has great trust in the people that are going to be in her corner that she trusts, who is going to be Mario Mendoza, and this is just me interjecting. Mario Mendoza is the husband of Jackie Nava, so he's going to be helping Kenya in the corner, and that she's ready, that her dad gave her the strategy, and she's ready, and she trusts the people in her corner.
Now, I think that, you know, it really is a great story behind her, and it is just, you know, such a tough spirit without even meeting her. You can just read about, you know, her great fight style and just really how she started, and it's in her blood, you know, her dad boxed too. So it's just, you know, Astrid, how proud is her dad of her? Like, you know, what kind of relationship is that for her?
Dice que es una gran historia lo que ha leído de ti, que sin conocerte sabe qué tipo de persona eres y el estilo que tienes en boxear y que tu papá esté ahí contigo y pregunta qué tipo de relación tienes con tu papá y si él está orgulloso, qué tan orgulloso está tu papá de ti.
Pues creo que somos la obra de arte más grande que ha hecho mi papá, me refiero a mí y a mi hermana, ya que ha sacrificado muchas cosas al igual que nosotros. Creo que en pensar en que un papá no esté orgulloso de que sus hijas sean reconocidas, no a nivel nacional, sino mundial, creo que eso llenaría de orgullo a cualquier padre. Y pues hablando de entrenador, creo que es uno de los entrenadores que tiene las más grandes satisfacciones, ya que tiene a las primeras del mundo y a las campeonas de su lado. Creo que mi papá está más que dichoso con nosotros y nosotros con él.
I think that we are his biggest works of art. And when I say we, it's my sister and myself. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done it all. He's sacrificed a lot for us, and we sacrificed a lot for him. So I don't think there wouldn't be a father out there that wouldn't be proud of two daughters, and we are proud of him as well. And I think as a trainer, he's proven that he's a great trainer because he has actually three, this is not, I'm saying it, like she said two, but then there's actually three world rank fighters in his gym, who is Kenya, his sister Tanya, and then his significant other. She's also ranked in the top 10 by the WBC. Her name is Sandra Robles.
That's great. Wow. All right, David, again, I'll stop being hostile.
Who gets more nervous? Who gets more nervous between Kenya and Tanya when each other fights? Because I know she
Kenya,
knows her fights. But...
Yeah. Kenya, ¿quién crees que se pone más nerviosa? ¿Tú cuando pelea la Tanya o Tanya cuando peleas tú?
Yo creo que mi hermana siempre ha sufrido de muchos nervios, siempre, por más que nos hayamos preparado de la misma forma, porque casi la mayor parte del tiempo entrenamos juntas, corremos juntas, hacemos la misma preparación porque se ha dado que peleamos en fechas similares. Mi hermana peleó hace 2 semanas, pero mi hermana sigue con que, oh, Kenia, haz bien las cosas, ya sabes qué tienes que hacer. Antes de irse siempre, no se te olvide esto, no se te olvide el otro, no voy a estar para ir para gritarte, entonces haz esto, haz el otro, no te equivoques, acuérdate de esto, acuérdate del otro. Entonces creo que la más nerviosa entre ella y yo, pues, es mi hermana. Pero pues a mí tampoco deja de despreocuparme cuando pelea mi hermana.
She says that I think my sister is the one that gets the most nervous. You know, we do everything together. We train together. We run together. We've had the luck to fight around the same time. She actually fought 2 weeks ago. And even like before I left today, this morning, she told me, she gave me the whole rundown. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. Do the things right. I'm not going to be there screaming at you. But I think that she's the one that gets more nervous. But I get nervous as well. But I think she gets a little bit more nervous than I do.
Yeah. When can we expect Tanya in the United States to fight?
¿Cuándo podemos esperar a Tanya en los Estados Unidos?
Pues esperemos que pronto, y ahorita ya está clasificada entre las primeras 15 del mundo. Es la actual campeona nacional. Ya hizo su primera defensa. Entonces creo que nada más es cuestión de unas peleas más, un título internacional. Y pues ya va a estar pronto acá. Creo que verán más talento de la familia Enríquez.
I think that soon, you know, she's already the Mexican national champion. She's ranked in the top 15 in the world. She defended her national title already once. And I think that they just need to look for an international title for her. And hopefully soon we'll get to see her in the United States and you'll see more of the Enríquez sisters' talent.
Great.
Wow. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Any other questions, David? Elena?
No, I'm. What was it? Did you get a chance to meet Golovkin or Chocolatito? And did they get to talk to her?
Kenia, ¿tuviste la oportunidad de conocer a Gennady Golovkin o a Chocolatito? Y si sí, ¿platicaste con ellos?
Claro que sí, tuve el honor de saludarlos a los dos, pero pues por el problema del idioma tuve oportunidad de hablar con Chocolatito, una persona muy humilde, un poco resentido por el peso, pero pues es parte del trabajo. La verdad se les nota lo profesional y se les nota que vienen muy bien físicamente, y pues mañana el sábado los tres y los demás participantes se ve que va a haber una buena función. Todos se ven muy bien en peso, todos se ven físicamente bien.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to say hi to both of them, but obviously because of the language barrier with Golovkin, I wasn't able to speak to him much. But I did with Chocolatito, a very humble person. He looked to be a little suffering a little bit with the weight, but he looks like he's going to take the weight. And you know, I expect a great fight, a great night of fights. Everybody looks to be ready, very professional, and I expect a great night of fighting on Saturday night.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a very exciting night for Kenya and for everybody involved. It's going to be a great show at the Forum.
Okay, well then, I'm going to let her go. Kenya, muchas gracias por estar aquí con nosotros. ¿Alguna cosa que le quieras decir a tus fans escuchando?
Muchas gracias a ustedes, muchas gracias a toda la gente que me apoya, muchas gracias a la gente que se une a mi equipo. No tengo más que decirles que thank you very much.
Thank you, Kenya.
Okay.
Yeah, best of luck.
Bye bye.
And there you have it, five fans of the 2 minute round. We had the three of the four female fighters that are going to be taking part of the show on Saturday night. First, we had Amariz Quintana from San Diego, who will be facing Kenny Enriquez in a 108-pound, 8-round scheduled bout. Then we had Ceniese Estrada, super bad Ceniese Estrada, who will be facing Selene Lopez in a 6-rounder catch weight, 111. And then obviously we had the former WBO champion, Kenya Enriquez, who will be facing Amariz in that fight. Guys, what do you think of the three interviews? We were back-to-back interviews here at the two-minute round.
What did you think, Elena?
I think they all have promising careers, and I'm really excited about the Kenny and Amariz fight. I think that will be, one to put in the books for sure. It was really nice to hear all of them because they seem like, they all are coming from the right place. They are all true boxing. They're all true fighters. And I hope more people get to meet them. I hope they get promoted in the right way.
All right.
Yes,
go ahead, David.
I was pretty impressed with all the girls. I know that I've seen them all fight. They're all great fighters. I could see them all in a round robin. That would be something, too, if they all fought each other eventually, because I wouldn't guarantee that everybody would beat everybody. They're so evenly matched.
Yeah, no, I think, obviously, and Sanika talked about she is trying to build her career first, but I'd like to see her get in there with these other ladies. I think she'd be just fine. I do understand that boxing is a business and there's a way to do things, but I can't wait to see her fight these other fighters.
And honestly, I've seen all of these fighters fight, and all these fights are competitive. I mean, Selene Lopez has a record of, believe, 3 wins, 4 losses. Three wins, four losses, 3 draws with 1 knockout. But she's not an easy fight. She gave a hell of a fight to Tania Enriquez, Kenya's sister, and she's a very high-pressure fighter, and that's something that we might not have seen before against Inés Estrada and her previous opponents. And don't get fooled by her record of the Selena Lopez. She's coming to fight, and she puts on a great fight every time she steps into the ring. You could ask Amariz Quintana, and you could ask Kenya Enriquez. So I think Ceniza has a good fight on her hands.
Yeah, exactly. Women's records don't mean anything.
Exactly. And she's fought everyone, she does not have the greatest record, but it's not because she really has fought the best out there. So you're right. She's going to be a tough fight. And so it will be nice to kind of see how that fight unfolds as well.
Exactly.
Well, guys, Let's try to wrap it up here. Let's go through the rest of the fight results and then the upcoming calendar. We're a little bit over an hour here, but we knew it was going to be a special show. Very, very special, because we have our new co-host, Elena Baby Doll Reed, and we want to thank you before, because she's doing a great, great job. It's starting from Saturday, April. She's actually taking over the show, David. We need to have a talk with her after the...
I do. I'm really mad about
that. Elena, you're doing great.
You're doing great. Saturday, April 16th, and this was a huge, huge fight card, hugely promoted from Auckland, New Zealand. I mean, I was catching Instagram and tweets about this fight card before and after, where we had a mostly female fight card out there in New Zealand, where Ronica Jeffrey defeated Gentiani Lupi for the vacant WBC silver featherweight title via unanimous decision. Melissa St. Ville captured the vacant WBC silver 130-pound title with a unanimous decision over Baby Nansen. Callie, this was the shocker here. Not a lot of people expected this, but Callie Reese of Rhode Island, I believe, or New York, at least the East Coast, got Rhode Island got a split decision win over Maricela Cornejo for the vacant WBC middleweight title. Scores were 99-91, 96-95 for Reese, and 96-94 for Cornejo. And I don't know if you... I don't know if you have Instagram, David, but I saw this quick little interview. I mean, this little post that Cornejo put, and she was very upset after the fight. She had some R-rated comments about the judging. And I thought it was kind of interesting that she did, because the judges were appointed by the WBC. She thought maybe they should have been American judges. She said she wants a rematch, but in the United States. But the judges are the WBC judges, whether in the United States or in New Zealand, they're going to be WBC judges. So it wasn't so much they were a hometown crowd, because Kali Reid's from Rhode Island, so it's not like she was getting a hometown decision out there.
Yeah, yeah. I guess she was only complaining about the 99-91 score, meaning that she only got one round. Well, the other ones were close.
Yeah. I think I'd like to say something, too, because Veronica Jeffrey, I'd like to – she's also another one who's out there who is a tremendous boxer. And so I'd like to see her get talked about more as well. But she I think she's up there with Layla McCarter. I think she's also a great female fighter.
Let's try to get her on for the next show. See if we could put that together and have her on the next show and have and do an interview with her. I'll push for that. And then also
her and Melissa St. Bill too.
Maricela, yeah. And then also Noemi Bosquez from Florida lost a controversial majority decision to Michelle Preston, and those scores were 80-73, 79-76. 76-76. And although Noemi Bosquez, one thing about her, she's very, very professional. She goes out and fights anybody and anywhere. She fought Barbie Juarez in her hometown of Mexico City. She came and fought Kenya in San Diego, which might as well be in Kenya's backyard. And she went down there in New Zealand and fought Michelle Preston. And one thing that Noemi Bosquez doesn't do, she doesn't complain. But I don't know if you saw the picture, is when they announced the winner, Michelle jumped up in the air because she probably didn't believe that she won. And the face on Noemi with this bewildered, surprised look looking at her corner basically gave you the story of the whole thing, you know. So, but Noemi didn't actually complain. At least I didn't see anything on social media that she was complaining. And it might have been her last fight ever. Mia St. John scored a fourth round KO over pro debuter Lisa Lewis. So I think that's the last that we've seen of one of the pioneers as well in the same era, her heyday as Elena Baby Doll Reed. Elena, did you ever get a chance to sit on the same card as Mia St. John?
You know, we were always in the same circles. I don't think we ever fought on the same card, but we did a lot of the different events together. I was at a lot of her different fights. But no, I don't think we were ever featured on the same card.
Okay, yeah, and wrapping it up, go ahead, David.
Oh, no, that's fine.
And wrapping it up on Saturday, April 6th, she fought Lissy Lewis, a pro debuter, and she knocked her out in the fourth round TKO. I saw the knockout, and it looked like Lissy Lewis was, you know, she was getting everything that she could handle from Mia St. John by the fourth round, and they stopped it. It looked like a good stoppage. And Saturday, April 16th, from the Foxwoods, on the undercard broadcast of Showtime, Shelly Vincent, 17-0 with only one knockout, remained undefeated with the unanimous decision over Elizabeth Anderson. And from the Barclay Center, Heather Hardy, 16-0 with four knockouts, stopped Anna Donatella Holton in the fourth round of Schedule 8. And her fight was on the undercard of the NBC broadcast that gave us Errol Spence against Chris Algieri. Now, I think, and I know that Shelly Vincent has gone and publicly challenge Heather Hardy. These two women have to be on a collision course against each other, and it has to be for a world title, hopefully.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they definitely deserve it. I think there's no question that it should be a title fight.
But the only thing
that they're both on the East Coast.
They're both on the East Coast. They're both undefeated, and they're both around the same weight class, if not the same weight class. I think Heather Hardy is starting to struggle to get down to that 122-pound limit. I know that when she fought Noemi Bosquez, another fight that I kind of slipped my mind from, Noemi fought her twice. Noemi went up to New York twice to fight her, and the second time, I believe, ended up fighting her at featherweight, where Noemi Bosquez is a super flyweight, and she fought her at featherweight because Heather Hardy came in heavy, and I don't know if Heather Hardy can make 122 anymore. We'll see, but hopefully she makes it for Shelly Vincent, and that turns out to be a title fight. I don't know if it will be the WBC, because I believe the WBC champion is Alicia Ashley, right?
Another
Alicia
New
Ashley,
Yorker,
yeah.
No, they
Alicia
won't fight
Ashley.
Her.
No,
they're all in the same gym together. Yeah, I believe they're stable mates.
Elena fought Alicia Ashley.
Yeah, and that was probably my toughest fight
tough
for sure.
Yeah,
I didn't know what I was getting into. Yeah.
And
it was a tough
so
title.
Now
we yeah.
What's a tough because I know that she fought Jackie Nava. Also, Jackie Nava, you know, got the win. I personally didn't think that she won the fight, but she got the win against Alicia Ashley, and I know Alicia Ashley is a very tough fighter.
Yeah, Alicia Ashley, what is great at is, she's a southpaw, like I was a southpaw, so you got that, right? But she doesn't let people get in. She's really, really smart. And, right, another thing about her is I think she just got in the Guinness World Book of Records, right, for being the oldest female fight, or just the oldest fight. I'm not sure, but she's up there in age.
This is the oldest
champion
or something.
Yeah,
she's 49 years old.
And she's very nice.
Yeah, she does not let you get in. Like, she keeps you on the outside. Great fighter. I hear that she's 49, but it's just tough to believe. But, another one who's out there. It's just amazing.
She's a very nice person. Also, I had the privilege to meet her at the WBC convention a couple of times, and she's very, very nice with her manager, Luigi, I can't pronounce his last name. It starts with an O. Yeah, that's him. Okay, so let's go to the upcoming calendar. And we do have a little bit of some fights on Friday, April 22nd, actually tomorrow night. And I saw the pictures of the win earlier today from Puerto Rico. And this is kind of surprising. DeBella Entertainment is the promoter of record. Amanda Serrano, the newly crowned WBO featherweight champion, 27 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, 20 knockouts, will be facing Edina Kiss from Sweden. 6-0 with 3 knockouts in a non-title 8-rounder out there in Puerto Rico, which is nice. You know, I think Amanda Serrano had been looking to fight in Puerto Rico for quite some time. I've been following the promotion of it on Facebook and stuff, and it looks like she's getting a lot of promotion out there in her home country. So that's pretty nice of her, for her.
Yeah, she's a main event out there, so she's definitely up and coming, and it sounds like she's doing the right thing, but she's the main event out there. She's on all the TV shows that they have out there, so she's definitely doing her thing.
She's got tremendous power.
On Saturday. Yeah, tremendous power. But who is that? The only other fight to make there, and she's going to be fighting also, and we're going to talk about her in a little bit. But, what's the other name at featherweight? You know, she could fight Maureen Shea. She could fight Jennifer Hahn. But I don't think there's one defining fight there for Amanda Serrano at 126 pounds that to really make her go and say, wow, this is a great fight. This is a fight that we want to see.
Well, I think there is, but I think this is my own opinion. But I think there is featherweights. I mean, Monica Jeffries at 126. And so is the other girl from New York.
They're all in the same gym together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They're all in the same gym, but I doubt if they fight each other.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that they need to fight each other to be able to get over that hump and get I don't know about you guys, and I think, David, you and I are on the same page, and I would imagine Elena, too, and Elena could actually even give us the example of what would be life for her. But, you know, every fighter needs that signature fight, you know, in that weight class. And I think that, you know, Amanda Serrano, that's what she needs at 126 pounds for us to say, wow, I can't wait for that fight between Amanda Serrano and ex-fighter. And like you mentioned, David, it just so happens that the fighters that we might want to see her against are in her same gym.
Exactly. There's the other fighter, Melissa Hernandez.
Yeah.
That girl's a tremendous fighter.
I think she used to be in the same gym as well. But let me be honest with you, and I'm sure that they would say the same thing. If someone paid them the right amount of money, I'm sure they would fight each other. But the truth is, there isn't the right amount of money out there for them. If they're making any kind of money, why wouldn't they fight each other? You know, they are in the same gym, but I'm sure they could make that work.
Good point.
Or maybe the opportunity, too, because to be quite honest, the opportunity to make this fight between Kenny Enriquez and Amaris Quintana had been presented in the past in San Diego, but it just didn't make sense. But now it makes sense for it to be here on the Golovkin card, you know? So it just might not be the money. It might be the opportunity as well. Maybe something on TV, you know?
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah, you know, make it worth it in one way or another, whether, yeah, opportunity of, you know, TV or opportunity of money, but I just, it hasn't been there for them.
So, this is the same night, Saturday, April 23rd, but in Sweden, Mikaela Loren, 26-3 with 11 knockouts, will be defending her 154-pound WBC world title against Ivana Havazin of Hungary, 15-2 with 6 knockouts. The only interesting thing that I read about this fight is that Mikaela Loren has actually threatened not to fight unless her promoter puts male ring card people, because they're not ring card girls, they're
ring men.
Male boys, yeah. Ring card boys, instead of what she called the sexist ring card girls. So I don't know if that's like a promotional ploy of hers or the promotional company to kind of spruce up or drum up some interest in this fight. But, I mean, I did read that she said that about this upcoming Saturday. So I don't know if he is actually – they have actually gone in and auditioned these ring card boys. So we'll see. On the same
– I've seen it before. It's happened, so it's not a new thing. Yeah.
I've seen it happen before, and people threw stuff in the ring.
Yeah.
And it wasn't money, right?
No.
On the same card and the same night, Clara Svensson, 15-1 with 5 knockouts, will be facing Lucia Morelli, 19-5 with 9 knockouts in an 8-rounder at 140 pounds. Saturday night is going to be full of fights. We got that Mikaela Loren, as long as they get the ring card boys. We have Ava Knight coming back to Mexico, even though she fought to a draw in her last fight and didn't look all that great. I know that you watched that fight, David. She'll be coming back to Mexico this time in Guaymas, Sonora, to face Judith Rodriguez in a 6-rounder, I presume at 115 pounds, because it wasn't really that detailed of what weight class she'll be fighting at. But Ava Knight back in Mexico and back on TV, she's starting to become a little bit of a draw out there because she has had such a great career in Mexico. She beat Areli Muncino, who actually just signed with Sanford Promotions yesterday. So we're going to be seeing her hopefully on TV in June. And then she fought go ahead.
She fought Elena. Elena beat her earlier in her career.
Ava Knight also.
Oh, yeah. No, I've known Ava for a long time. I actually just saw her at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame last year. And she's another great one, just like Wes. You know, she had an amateur career, a great female fighter. And I talk to her a lot. It's funny. I feel like her bigger sister when I'm around her. So I always try to give her advice on things. But it's just a rough road, you know. Like, she's such a great fighter. She wants to fight, but it's hard. Mexico has been great for her and for a lot of female fighters. But here in the States, she just hasn't been able to get the fights that she needs. You know, so it's that same question of, like, you know, how do I make this happen? Like, how do I pay my bills? And so those are all things I've talked to her about. But, yeah, another just fantastic fighter. And, you know, hopefully she finds a way to stay motivated.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully sometime in the future we could have her on the show as well. We're going to have all these women on our show. The 2-minute round. It's just a matter of getting him on the phone. And obviously, Saturday, April 23rd, from the Forum in Inglewood on K2 Promotions, Kenny Enriquez, 15-1, 7 knockouts against Amaris Quintana, 9 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws, 1 knockout in an 8-rounder at 108 pounds. Cines Estrada, 5-0, 1 knockout versus Selene Lopez, 3 wins, 4 losses, 3 draws, 1 knockout in a 6-rounder at 111 pounds. So we've talked about that fight card extensively tonight and in prior ones. On Friday, April 29th, from the Southwest University Event Center in El Paso, Texas, Jennifer Hahn, 13-3 with 1 draw, 1 knockout, will be defending her IBF featherweight title against Liliana Martinez of Dominican Republic, 20 wins, 15 losses, 12 knockouts. And like we have mentioned before on the show, records don't matter that much in female fighting. What does matter here is that this Liliana Martinez has, you know, the double, the if not triple, the experience that Jennifer Hahn does.
Jennifer Hahn had a huge amateur career, and this is going to be a funny thing. But we actually kickboxed against each other as kids, as young children.
Who won?
So I don't even remember. I think we had like 2 fights, maybe she won one fight, and I won the other fight. But she's been fighting as long as I've been, so that's over 20 years, you know. Even though maybe her professional record isn't quite there, don't ever count her out, because she is
she's been fighting forever, and she's been a great fighter forever in all the rings.
Yeah, I bet. Her whole family is fighters.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, her brother,
like New Mexico. New Mexico tough is what they are. Like, she's just a great fighter. I don't know if she's still
from
New Mexico.
They're from El Paso, I think, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
El Paso, Texas.
Yeah, right.
AB Han fought in San Diego, too. He had a huge kickboxing career as well, her brother. And I think they have a little sister out there, too, that's fighting, I think. But I don't know if she's kickboxing or boxing.
No, she retired.
Little sister?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she retired.
Saturday, April 30th from Guaymas. Actually, my bad. Saturday, April 23rd from Los Mochis. Ava Knight in Los Mochis. And Saturday, April 30th, Guaymas, Sonora. Sanford Card, Azteca Channel. And let me tell you something. If you've been to Los Mochis, you've been to Guaymas. No difference, so it doesn't really matter. Anabel Ortiz, the WBA World Strawweight Champion and ranked number one by BoxRec as strawweight, 19-3 with three knockouts, will be facing Katia Gutierrez, former IBF strawweight champion, 19-6 with four knockouts in a 10-rounder. I think that's a great, great fight. Anabel Ortiz comes forward, is a brawler. She's there to fight, and Katia Gutierrez a little bit more technical. So even though Katia Gutierrez is coming off a loss to Kenny Enriquez, granted, she went up in weight at 100. Actually, it was 107. She demanded the fight to be at 107 against Kenny Enriquez. Now she's at her weight class, and I think she has a good chance to put on a good fight here against Anabel Ortiz.
Will that be televised?
Yes, it'll be televised
by
Azteca Channel and Sanford. And I believe Anabel Ortiz is getting close to moving up to 108. So maybe, just maybe, we might see Kenny Enriquez against Anabel Ortiz or any other one of these fighters that we spoke to today against Anabel Ortiz in the near future at 108 pounds because I believe she's ready to move up.
Yeah, that'll be impressive.
Yeah. And lastly, Saturday, April 30th from the D.C. Armory, Washington, D.C., LaTondra Jones, 2-0 with one knockout, will be facing pro debuter Kamika Slade in a 4-rounder, 160 pounds. Why are we mentioning LaTondra Jones? Because she is part of the money team. She is signed to Mayweather Promotions, the only fighter, the first and only fighter to be signed to Floyd Mayweather.
Huh, interesting. What weight
is she? She's a middleweight. So that's going to be a hard weight class to find some opponents, but she might be fighting for a title soon because in those heavier weight classes, it's a little bit easier to get a world title shot. Case in point, Alejandra Jimenez with 5 wins, 0 losses, ended up beating the WBC heavyweight champion Marta Salazar earlier this year. So once you get a little bit heavier, you get a little bit quicker shot at the title.
I'm sure with Mayweather behind you too, that's also a possibility.
Yeah, that is true. Well, folks,
money
here
talks.
We are. Exactly, and the money team does like to talk. So here, with an hour and 30 minutes in, the longest on record 2-minute round episode ever, our number 3. But it was a great one. We had Amaris Quintana. We had Cienes Estrada. We had we had Kenya Enriquez. And obviously, we had our new co-host, the one and only Elena Baby Doll Reed, done a great job. It looks like she's a veteran at this. I'm still getting a little bit nervous, and she's flying all over the place.
I can talk. I have no problem.
So I thank you, Elena. I thank you, David. Our next show is scheduled for 2 weeks from now. The 2-minute round is every other Thursday here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, now at our new time, 7 p.m. Pacific time. When is our next show, David? I don't have it in front of me. I think it'll be May 5th.
Yeah,
oh.
It'll be before the Canelo Amir Khan fight card in Vegas, Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Well, on that day, we're going to have the fight results of the upcoming card that we just gave you. We're going to have a little bit more of a fight chatter. We're going to try to see if we could go after Kalina Reese and Maricela Cornejo. And then we're going to have a theme that we could talk about with Elena. Maybe she could give us her insight, even more of her insight that she gave us today on a specific theme like we did last time. Maybe we'll touch the theme that we touched with Liz Quevedo Parr, which was don't say anything now, Elena. I know you're going to go off on a bender right here. So don't say it now. Maybe to the next show, but we want to know your thoughts on the difference between the 2-minute and a 3-minute round for female fighters. Don't say it. Let's leave it for the next show. Okay?
No problem.
Okay, with that said, On behalf of David Avila and Miss Elena Baby Doll Reed, I'm Felipe Leon bidding you a farewell until May 5th. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
When it comes to a family car, it has to be refined, beautifully designed, as well as being comfortable to drive.
But a car needs to be fun to drive, responsive and sporty. I don't want a boring car just because I've got a family.
But it should ooze class and make you feel $1 million when you get in.
Ah, but it shouldn't cost $1 million. It needs to be affordable, with 0% APR representative, a £750 deposit for a Mazda, and no minimum customer deposit.
It's got to be the Mazda 3. Exactly.
Funny, I was thinking the same thing.
For more information, search Mazda 3 or visit your local Mazda dealer. Mazda personal contract purchase, T's and C's apply. Finance subject to status, 18s or over. Guarantee may be required. Mazda Financial Services excludes sport black models.